All right, guys, we're back, and it is a new decade. We're going to go back to talking about our charming story of fearless ignorance. Section 2, episode 2, the next phase, the emotional side of starting a business. So check it out. Tune in. Hear us get a little vulnerable. This is the Handmade Victory Podcast. So welcome in to another episode of the Handmade Victory Podcast. It is 2020, and it's a new decade. How do you feel about that?
It's just crazy. It makes me feel old, and honestly, I'm trying to ignore it. I find myself ignoring it. So many people are talking about it, and I'm just trying to act like it didn't really happen. I know that's awful.
What does that even mean? Why would you ignore it?
I don't deal with change well. And
yeah, that whole thing that happens once a year.
That's a big tough one. This is 2020. This is big. This is like, God, I feel
old. What's so big about it?
I don't know. I mean, new decade, man.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Did you feel this way in 2010?
No.
Or 2000?
No. But it's, no, I don't know. No. Good point. Who the heck knows why I feel the way I feel, but
you
I
should.
Don't know.
I should be the one. God, it's 2020 and I'm 40.
Yeah.
40. 20. Yeah. You're not even 40 yet.
I know.
You're so young.
I know.
Beautiful.
You're dating a little youngin.
She's such a little lady.
I don't just sound young. Oh, not yet 40 is my hashtag for a whole nother year.
Makes me feel good when you say that.
Anyways.
I am 40. But I saw on the internet where 30 years ago was 1990, which to me does not seem long ago. At all.
God, that makes me feel old.
And that means that in 30 years, it'll be 2050, which just seems like a mountain away.
Why are we doing math? I mean.
Well, Rochelle, in all due respect, if you can't do that simple math.
I know. It's just, why do it? Again, let's just ignore it. Let's just push it under the rug. We're not getting older. You're only as young as you feel.
Well.
I know. I mean, but you're making me feel like all January is the most depressing month out of the year. And now you're talking about when I'm going to be 50 and 70. And I mean, that's just depressing. Let's focus on the facts that today is a great day and I'm not yet 40 and you're only 40. That's
right.
Hashtag mindset.
It's true, though. I am only 40.
Mm-hmm. You're young.
40 years young.
Dude, you're young.
Feel good. Look even
Anybody
better.
Out there that's even 50, 55, 60, you're young.
62, maybe not.
Hell no, 62, 63. I might be pushing a little bit.
Ew.
But come on, we're young.
We are. You're absolutely right. And you know what? The podcast listeners are really happy that we're bantering back and forth on how young we are and what
constitutes
old.
So this is the second part. This is the second part to our blissful ignorance starting a business podcast that we did just a little while back. So if you did not check that one out, it was basically how we got to where we are.
A charming story about fearless ignorance.
Yeah. So that was the first part, just starting something we had absolutely no clue what we were getting into. It worked. Parts of it did parts of it did not work.
Yet to be seen.
Oh, come on. It worked. Parts of it did not work. But I think a lot of people, you know, that just kind of jump both feet in like we did, it's bound to happen. Some things work, some things don't. Sure. We're big on, you know, and I think we said this before, throwing pasta against a wall and what sticks, great. What doesn't, cool. We tried it and I know not what to do next time. And I'm good with that. And you know, it's worked. The second part of the story is a very, very emotional for me.
Very emotional.
And then...
It's all well on your phone?
Work, dude.
Podcast listeners.
Work.
Rochelle's on her phone.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, we got to... Somebody has to work.
Somebody does. You're absolutely right. And we're very thankful, Rochelle, that you are working. It's great.
So we want to talk a little bit about the second part and, I don't know...
What you call the emotional part.
Well, it was the growth period. But it was also, which obviously as you grow, people are emotional. And yeah, it was emotional for me.
It still is emotional. Mm-hmm. And I think it will always be emotional.
It made me cold.
No.
So it changed me a lot. So I had to then come back around. And, you know, when I started business, everybody used to call me the social butterfly because I was just out to, which was great for sales because I just wanted to say yes to everything and I just wanted to deliver to everything and we did that. And but then, you know.
What, you want an entree, three sides, free delivery, everything for $7.95? It's yours.
Yes, oh, baby. Take it. Wait, and a balloon in whatever color you choose.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
I'm so stupid. Oh, I used to go get balloons. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. The flash. I'm literally breaking out in a cold sweat right
some
now.
Some of the stupid
we
stuff
we used to
I
have
did.
A storage area for pharmaceutical reps. Mm-hmm. Their garb, their leave behinds,
and
their
I used
pens,
to
their notebooks,
it for them.
Their calendars. We had set up all the food and set up all their. I mean, literally, all they had to do was walk. We'd do that for $7.95 a meal.
Yep.
Gosh, were we dumb?
Yep. Well, not dumb because it got us to where we are today, and I'm thankful for it. But it was super emotional just going through all of the trial and error. Yeah. Parts of life,
it
and
was.
Parts of business. So,
but we were super young as well.
We
I
were. Mean,
I think that's got to play a role.
Yeah.
In everything that we did, we were super young.
So my one of my all time favorite quotes was always, "It's not the years, it's the moments and the years."
Sure.
And that's how I lived, and I always stuck my chest out. Like I might be young, but I'm smart, right?
Well,
and then
confident,
the older I get, the older I get, I'm like, I don't know if that quote's so smart. I kind of do think that it takes a little bit of experience sometimes, you know. It now the ignorance part, the blissful part. Yeah, man, you only get that when you're young, mm-hmm. and that just screw it, I can do it. Kind of attitude.
Screw it, I can do it.
Hey, that's actually a good one. I'm gonna put that. I'm sorry, my phone's gone off.
No, it's okay. But if you can turn the ringer off, so
I
we
did.
Don't hear Greenville 25.
I did. Okay. No. But didn't. Anyways, so. Yeah, so let's get into it a little bit and the emotional part and the growing part for us. And this is not just if you're a business owner. You know, I know a lot of people experience growth that can be emotional in your job, in your family, in your relationships. Growing together is hard. I mean, even in a relationship, marriage, as you grow, I mean, we've been together now almost 20 years, and it gets hard, you know, just that constant adapting, constant growth. I mean, so on every level, uh-huh. I don't know what I expected to be in a business and not experience it, but not that I didn't expect to not have emotional ties or emotional moments or hardships, but just, I don't know, business, everybody says is so black and white, but it's not. And I think today's day and age, the more you blur, you know, the taking care of people's mindset, actually the better sometimes the business is for it. Mm-hmm. So now the last couple of years adapting to that mindset and where our world is going has been difficult for me.
Okay. So I'm gonna put you on the spot here.
Okay.
Okay. And it's truly a question that I have for you because I want to understand it. And this is going to be, I mean, we talk about this second half being an emotional aspect. You have been pushing for a charming story about fearless ignorance about our business. You know, episode one, episode two. This is something that you have been pushing for a long time to have this conversation and to talk about these things. And for me, I could care less. Mm-hmm. Like I don't find it intriguing. I don't find it engaging. And I guess probably because I lived it. So I'm curious after the first episode was released mm-hmm. and now the push for this one again, why is this such a driving force for you to get off your chest?
Because if somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey Brian, how you doing? How's business?" What do you say?
Today or 5 years ago?
Both. And don't lie.
Today I'm a little more reserved with it. Today I'm a little more, it's good, you know, we're doing some things, you know, employees are difficult. I'm a lot more transparent today. 5 years ago, I would have been lying through my teeth and said, "Oh, it's fantastic. We're doing great. Everything's fantastic, fantastic, fine. We're fine. We're fine. Everything's good. Everything's good." And in reality, it was garbage, trash, and a shit can of fire. It was horrible. You know, today I still don't maybe necessarily open up about all the true negatives, but I'm a little more reserved and just doing a blanket, we're fine, we're good.
So to answer your question, This has been almost 13 years, and 13 years of acting like I'm awesome. Okay. 13 years of saying I have it all together. 13 years of when people ask, and so do you, so don't even act like you're telling the whole story to even those closest to us. Mm-hmm. There has been moments that have you questioning, not only can I do this, but how fast can I run? Mm-hmm. How fast can I leave? How fast can I get out? How fast can
run
I
run away?
Sure. I'm not kidding you.
No, I got it.
And I say and this because you. I want other people listening to understand, number one, they're not alone. I don't care if you own your own thing or you don't own your own thing. Sometimes just working and going day to day life can be hard. Mm-hmm. But when you're face to face, oh, hey, how you doing? I'm good. Doing great. How are you?
Yeah.
And that get that constant lying, and I hate, I mean, okay, some people, oh, I'm not lying, it's just I don't want to bring everybody down. You're not bringing people down by being honest.
Right.
What you're actually doing is shutting people out because they really know you're just not telling them something. Mm-hmm. So I don't bring all this to light acting like my story is so abnormal or enlightening that somebody's going to learn how to be a better caterer or a better business person. No. I think on a personal level, everybody needs to be a little bit more real, and that's what I'm doing here. Mm-hmm. So although it's been emotional and it was hard to grow in one of the hardest businesses to operate, because out of every dollar, I maybe get to keep 4 pennies, which I am very proud of. So yeah, I like to have that voice as well, to say, hey, if I can do this with this, you can do maybe that with that. Mm-hmm. So maybe there is a little bit of undertone of trying to be inspiring to somebody that is thinking about doing something. But at the same time, I think the real story could maybe help somebody say, hey, you know what? It's okay that I'm suffering the way I'm suffering. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Oh, and guess what? If there's not, it's okay too. Because it's either going to be blessed through God and supposed to happen, or it's not blessed. So go ahead and try something different.
Okay, so you said a couple things there. One I want to touch on first, which is you said acting as though you have your shit together. So what defines that for you? Like what makes you say that you don't have it together or that you're struggling?
Well, how I feel in my gut.
Okay.
Number one.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, tell me about that. What does that mean?
I think the anxiety of constant worry.
Right.
Constant worry. And I've said this several times.
But 100% with you.
Yeah.
We talked about this weekend.
Yeah, it's a
about
house
how
of cards.
I just felt like I was going to vomit at any minute.
Exactly.
Because we're entering our slow time of the year. And it's like, how are we going to piece this thing together? So, okay, I get that. I get that feeling.
So, not yet being 40, I understand that I'm still not 20. Uh-huh. And I firmly believe and have grown to believe that anxiety, stress that everybody experiences can actually kill you faster than a bullet through the gut. And that's honestly the way I feel. And I have lived the last 13 years with nothing but anxiety and stress. Nothing but. And I've even taken it a step farther, and so have you, and said, you know what? I welcome on more. Let me take on a role that maybe doesn't pay me for what I'm worth and takes advantage of me, but I'm still going to do it. It could have been politics for you. It could be, you know, me engaging in some other organizations. It just adds on to the pile. Mm-hmm. It's just more. I'm okay. I'm all right. Why do I do these things? Why am I stressing myself out like this? What was your question? I don't even remember. Because I want to answer your question.
Well, you said that you did not have your shit together.
Right.
So I want to make sure that I understand, and maybe the listeners can relate to what defines that. Because I think that's such a blanket statement. Yeah, I don't have it together. So what does that actually mean for
you? Not being confident. Not being confident.
Confident in what?
In basically what you have to do. And if you're not enjoying it and you're worried about it, you're stressed out about it, and I think to some degree, new endeavors and having risk, yeah, it's going to create worry. Just because if you're a good person and you care about, you know,
no
what you've
question.
Worked in the past, you're going to have worry. But at the same time, the level of gut-wrenching stress that I would bring on and then turn around and act like I don't have, like it's almost a problem. It's just this walking problem. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not really able to fully engage because my mind is always elsewhere. Like right now, I have a problem. I mean, I have, you know, my phone's going off. you said before we started this, turn off your phone. But I have, you know, three customers that are texting me because I have turned off other devices. Mm-hmm. And it's, you just can't, I can't ever fully let things go, move into a moment. It's a problem. And to that, now I'm not really living a life. I'm just not. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm constantly thinking full circle, constantly thinking about what else I need to be doing, even if I'm doing this. And being in special events, I'm not only in the present, but now I'm 2 years ahead worrying. I mean, that crap's not even here yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm worried about, you know, what's going to happen. And it's a lot. And so I think not having my crap together is not feeling confident in some of the things that I'm doing either today or have to do tomorrow. And that sucks. And I know I'm not the only one.
No, you're not. And, you know? And again, I feel the exact same way. I just kind of wanted to hear your take on it. Take it back just a minute. And talked about, you know, not being honest, not being transparent with people on the street, not just saying you're fine, but you're saying, you know, you're being completely honest. You know, for me, a big part of that is that I quite frankly just don't trust human nature. Mm-hmm. There are so many people, and including some that listen to this podcast, that if I said the real to it, it would become such an over-exaggerated, editorialized statement to other people, mm-hmm, that it wouldn't be accurate anymore. Yeah. It would turn into this like drama filled.
I hear you.
Like, oh yes. Oh yes. I'm going to tell everybody I know my editorialized version of their issues right
okay,
now.
Okay. So I have to put time out,
which
really
is
quick.
Actually why I like the podcast now and saying, okay, let's do this, because at least we can put it out there and it's our narrative, whether it's right or wrong. It's our narrative.
So I love what you just said, because it inspires me to say something actually to my own benefit now. So yes, I might be looking at you and saying I'm okay and I'm good, which a lot of people do because they don't want to just unleash all their burdens into the environment. But I also think it's really good too if you can not put that out there into the universe and give it to God. And I think that that's, mm-hmm, something that I'm growing on working with. So now when I really do tell you, hey, I'm good, I really am better. I really, really am better, because I've already given it to where I feel like it now needs to go, because giving it to the people on the street is not necessarily the best option. But at the same time, those people closest to you, yeah, I think that they deserve and probably do want to know how your life is and how business is and, you know, how the decisions you have made are affecting you. And, you know, also, looking like you got your shit together. Mm-hmm. Big problem with you and I that we both admit, we spent basically 15 years trying to act like we made more than 4 cents on the dollar, you know, and now
still don't,
you know what I'm saying? And so you get into these, the facade, which we've talked about, right, on many occasions,
of course. Yeah.
You know, and looking like, I need that souped up Denali that's got the butt warmers and the, mm-hmm, the butt coolers and the vibrations every time you look wrong, or, you know,
don't
what I'm
care
saying?
About the butt coolers, but the butt warmers are nice. Let's be real honest with ourselves.
The butt
there.
Coolers,
let's not
make me feel like I peed myself.
Let's not sell the butt warmers short.
So, but you know, that kind of stuff, it's like, that stuff is all a part of it.
It is.
You know, and we talk about that now, that, yeah, I like it, but do I need it? Mm-hmm. And does it add to my overall stress? Yeah.
Right.
It does. And now it makes other people around you think that, I don't know.
Okay, so let's shift gears for just a minute.
What are those other options or things that you had written down?
I didn't write anything down.
Okay.
No writing. All in this beautiful mind of mine.
Okay.
Okay, so the middle part of this business journey, mm-hmm, I think this is probably some of the most difficult times that we had mentally. Mm-hmm. And it was the growing pains of starting a business and things. And we can dive into a few of them. I'm just going to kind of throw some softballs in the air, and then I'm going to let you kind of run. So we have Chef Dave. Mm-hmm. We have one of our partners, your mother and my mother-in-law, walking out. We have jobs. We have trying to find our way, a whole, you know, location closing its doors, moving into the Big Red Barn. Feeling like it's haunted.
I feel like that no matter where I work out of, though.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think it's me.
People
think
are following us. It always feels like somebody's watching you.
Oh, watching me. But I think because we're in the industry of always coming in and leaving when it's dark outside, mm-hmm. we geek ourselves out. Our employees can geek themselves out just because it's always like 1-2 in the morning, you're leaving, 1-2 in the, or 3-4, you're coming back in to get breakfasts out. It's just an, it can mm-hmm. be eerie. It's not, you're not operating what everybody else is operating. So you freak yourself out.
You know what cracks me up is that was the last one I thought you would take and run with. So, no, I love it. It's great.
But so there is that.
That was a joke.
And it's kind of just been there no matter
for
where
for those of you at. Who are looking at the barn, it is not haunted.
So the family dynamic is obviously the most emotional. It was there in the beginning. It was there in the middle, and it's here now. Mm-hmm. Husband, wife.
How hard is that? I mean, think about that. Husband and wife, that is tough.
Well, it says in the Bible that you're supposed to have balance. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that does not allow for it.
Absolutely not.
So it's been an uphill battle from second one. However, I'm also a firm believer in, if you're an entrepreneur, balance doesn't exist. That's the way I feel. I know a lot of people might disagree with me, but I think I'm balancing the same bottom line here that I am at home. Yeah. And uh-huh. it affects my family just like it affects my employees. And it's hard to separate.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with the whole family dynamic and never turning it off to a certain degree. I guess once you start talking about things I don't want to talk about, when you start talking about them, I guess you can rub me wrong.
Yeah, but that sucks because like,
it's wrong.
Like you will literally give like 12 straight hours of in my ear about this, that, and the other thing. And then I come at, okay, hey, Ro, I want to talk to you about this. And you're like, I don't want to hear it right now.
That's so wrong of me. I know I do it.
I'm naked.
That's my rule.
There is no business talking when I'm naked.
If I'm naked, do not talk.
Put some clothes on because this is important.
I also don't like to pick up the phone if I'm naked. And so our phones ring off the hook all the time. And that's just my rule. Well,
it sounds like maybe you're naked too much. That's just a thought. But it is. It's tough because we literally no. It's not a thing. Not a thing. There's no such thing as being naked too much. But we literally, you know, we'll leave here, we'll rush home, we'll do the kid thing, but then it's like right back to work, and it is such a mental block for you and I to even get past to like connect. Mm-hmm. So the work family dynamic is such a challenge, and then you take that component that I know we're not alone in. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of husbands, wife teams out there. We mm-hmm. know a few. We're great friends with a few. But here's the other element that just makes it so much more dynamically insane, which is adding in the rest of your family.
Yeah.
Your mom has been our chef. She was the first employee that was hired here. Mm-hmm. Has been the chef since day one. Your stepfather, Rick, part of the company, still see him a lot inside the business. And it just never, so Thanksgivings, Christmases, all of it. It's all this like.
Your brother was here.
Yeah, my brother. Your brother's still here, mm-hmm. yep. you know, which we loved having both of them.
Yep.
But at the same time, it is truly, when we say family business, it's a family business.
It's not just hard on us, though. It's hard on them.
I'm sure.
You know, there's this expectation that you always just have to the people that you work for, but then to say, my God, I got to see them on Christmas. And we just had a hard conversation and now we have to just sing kumbaya together. That's it's right. hard on everybody. It's very, very strange. I'll tell you, I don't just think she's an awesome dancer and singer and performer, but Beyonce saying, you know what? I just need to separate myself from my dad.
We just lost every listener. With the Beyonce reference.
Okay, now, if we didn't lose them before, we just did with your whatever that is.
I'm trying to bring it back.
But anyways, but I'm serious. I get it. I get why people just say enough is enough. You just can't do it. Mm-hmm. We've fired each other, fired ourselves, walked out on each other. I mean, it's wow. It's so not professional. It's just not a professional.
Because then everybody else in the environment gets to feel that.
They absolutely.
Get to feel, you know, us at each other's throats and not. I mean, there was a period of time when we all worked together, but we never spoke to each other. Mm-hmm. And it was a faction. It was obviously you and I against them.
Yep.
And we would not speak to each other all day long. We would certainly not do anything on a social perspective. It was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
bad. How did we get through that? I mean, for maybe some of the listeners that are maybe struggling with some of this, maybe it's not a family member, but it's a close friend that they started a business with that they're starting to truly have this like...
Yeah.
Crushing business environment now. How did we get through it?
Well,
this is where you say, Brian, you're an amazing mediator. It's always me.
Oh,
God. I hate to give myself the credit, but it's always me.
No, well,
bringing
it's
us together and having
it's
that
you
conversation.
Because it's my mom. And it's my family.
That's true. So because if it was mine, we would have never went into business. But had we done it, it would have been you.
I think that that's why. Mm-hmm. You're just able to go ahead and be that person, which I'm very appreciative of. And I know that deep down, you know, my family is as well. But I think, too, it's been growth on all of our parts. I mean, spiritual growth, professional growth. I mean... across the board, this has pushed us to grow into a space that I don't think any of us were capable. Mm-hmm. This has pushed us to our absolute limits, and you don't know what you are going to do until you're faced with only depending on God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's where this has put us, and it's caused us to appreciate each other a little bit more too. And I think the older, just speaking personally from my perspective, the older I get, the more I do appreciate and have regret on some of the relationships that maybe I let go or didn't work hard enough to keep, or if I did wrong, not mending and you know. And then some relationships are not meant to be, you know, we're meant to have them for a very short time and move on. And I think that realizing that is really important, but that plays a role in this instance. Mm-hmm. And us all realizing too that we do need each other. You know, we appreciate each other. The cool thing I will say is that although if you have a family dynamic, having people that are very different, our skill sets are all very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
We really could not do what the other people do.
Right.
Which helps.
It does.
You know, now we're not competing as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really helps having our specialty. I think we did that right.
Yeah, definitely being mm-hmm. able to stay in it. We didn't do it in the beginning. We didn't stay in our lanes in the beginning. We definitely do it now.
Yeah.
Much better. We veer occasionally, but for the most part, we stay in our lanes. And it works out very well for us at this point. As I kind of think about the middle of this business journey, for me, and I want to get your take on this, for me...
And I still have one more thing I want to talk about.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and finish that thought.
No, go. You're on a flow. Go.
I'm on a flow. The most difficult aspect for me has not been the finances or getting the business or dealing with the things that just take place with business or even the family dynamic. For me, honestly, as I reflect, it is... I'm going to say the employees, but that's too easy. It is... truly the chemical and alcohol dependence that is in our industry.
Oh, man.
That has truly delivered us. And I know it's everywhere. Don't get me wrong. I know it's everywhere. So don't bash me on that. But I believe in my heart of hearts that our industry, the hospitality industry, is so riddled in it that we are truly in a crisis right now of chemically dependent drugs and alcohol just rampant, because you're truly dealing with an employee population that, you know, people talk about living paycheck to paycheck. These guys aren't living paycheck to paycheck. They're living tip to tip. There's no ability for any type of medical assistance. There's no ability for them to get help where they truly need it. They're getting off late at night. They're going to the bars. They're sleeping in late. They're getting up and they're doing it all over again. And we have seen so many unbelievable people come through our doors and have their lives wrecked. And no matter what we've done to try to save it and fix it and put them back on our right path with our capabilities and our ability to assist, it doesn't work. And it's a cancer that goes within your company. And before you know it, every one of your pieces have fallen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing you can do about it, but you just sit back and watch it happen, and you try to get them out, and you try to fix it, but it just doesn't happen. And some of those guys that I think of, man, it is so unbelievably sad to me, and most definitely the hardest part of this business is seeing some of these guys fail mm-hmm. fail again and not being able to rescue them. Unbelievably difficult.
So this is the part I think weighs on me the most. I would agree with you, which is why I was kind of saving it. And that's what I was going to say. I still wanted to touch on something else. I could not agree with you more. And when people say, you know, how are things going? It's not so much for me, oh, you know, either the bills are paid or the bills aren't paid, or my sales are great or they're not great, or I'm in this many locations or I have this many employees. It's truly who have I lost and who's still with me. And I understand that this industry also is known for being high turnover as well as chemically dependent. However, I was not prepared for it. I knew it, but I wasn't prepared for it. And the good ones that I've been so blessed to have, and I say good, meaning maybe ethically your work was just outstanding, or your commitment to the company was phenomenal. I can't keep you that long because you deserve better. You know you want better, and you're going to move on to better. Mm-hmm. And to maybe a bigger market where they can pay you more, or, you know, to where it's less. And it's been an emotional roller coaster for me personally as well. And if I could fix it, of which you and I do try, and I think for the most part, we've had not as high turnover as what some do, but it's a lot for us to see the people that we can't save. Uh-huh. And learning that my resources are only so limited and my mind is can only handle so much as well. I'm not a trained psychologist in this, that I don't know. It's just been hard. I just can't agree with you more. But when people, I'm sorry, I'm talking in circles here, no, but
you're good. When people, it's a tough topic.
It is, because that's really what's under my skin. If people say, hey, how you doing? That's really what's bugging me. Yeah. It's not all the other stuff. It's the people that I am trying to either make better, help deal with their issues. Are they threatened to lose their home and now I'm dealing with that? Do they not have any heat and it's, you know, 10 below? What is the instance? Those are the instances that I'm really talking about when I say, I'm good, I'm fine.
Yeah.
It's not always just the four pennies out of the dollar. It's mm-hmm. it's those, the ministry in the workplace that I started doing in the beginning, got bit, felt like I got bit, stopped doing it so much, started to fail because, well, if your people aren't going in a good direction, then you're nothing. Mm-hmm. And then tried to wrap my head around it again and going back to it. That's really my focus, yeah. Not catering and special events. And that's not where you make money. It's not like it's a line item on my P&L. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Well, but I think for us to, again, I don't know. The thing for me is I kind of think about this. It is such a, it's been such a growth point for us that has been a struggle. And I don't care if we go back and we talk about, you know, something like you said, an employee about to lose their house. And we literally write a check to their landlord to ensure that they are not evicted. But then get crapped on 6 months later.
Not even 6 months.
And those are the type of things that are so difficult to overcome. But at the end of the day, you have got to think to yourself, as a business owner, as a community leader, as somebody that's in a position of authority, that you have got to be able to minister to these people. And you've got to be able to try to help them out of their darkness. Now, once you try to help them out of their darkness, you've done all you can do to try to help them out of their darkness. And it's not on you if they fail. They have to have some type of accountability. This has been the hardest thing for us, is through Chef Dave's suicide, is not blaming it on ourselves, not taking this road that if he would have been in our door, if we wouldn't have fired him for the 19th time, that if he was in this building, that maybe we could have saved him. And the reality is that the 20th firing could have done it. The 21st firing could have done it, because it would have happened again. The downward spiral would have happened again. When is enough enough of burden on your own soul that is now turning you into a person, like you said, that has given up. You're not going to minister anymore. You're not going to be in that place anymore because you're so burdened by what the hurt provides you that you just can't even take it anymore. Because then it becomes things like this. You get a limo to go to Raleigh with a couple team members and you don't get a thank you and you're mad about it. Like, it ruins your relationship with them because you're like, I didn't have to go to this event. B, I didn't have to get a limo. I'm trying to love on you guys.
I know,
but I can't even get a thank you.
Your job is to do. Your job is to do, and what they do or do not do is on them.
I get it.
On Judgment Day, but it's hard.
It's hard. But it's those big things that lead to starting to shut the door on the small things.
On the small things, and makes us maybe crap leaders because of it. And I get that. And again, that was when I say I turn cold, that's where I turn cold. Mm-hmm. And it was after Dave died. And I think that this business has made me feel like, and I love when my mom says this, but it's only because it's the truth, but about, 15 divorces and about 5 deaths is what I feel responsible for. Mm-hmm. And it's put me in a place that I have had to counsel myself because not everybody understands, and nor do I have the time or the money to pay for somebody else to tell it to me, but I still feel responsible for a lot of them. Uh-huh. And which is why, I mean, this is just awful, just absolutely awful that I still that I still put myself in the position to think about how I could have done things differently. Uh-huh. And I mean, so much so that after he died, we changed buildings. We wanted to get into a completely different, when you got somebody that is with you for 8 years, you are who you are because of them.
Mm-hmm. Especially in a role as dynamic as
Chef Dave was there. Yeah. And so, I mean, you try to make changes, you try to move forward, you try all of these things, and when they don't work, what do? Well, yeah, you turn cold, and you start to somehow feel like, I don't know. I felt like almost I was getting my revenge I turned to what could I have done? And then I turned to, I can't believe I did what I did. And I should have not even done that. And mm-hmm. I went through all these different stages. And it's something that obviously we're not quite over, or we wouldn't be stumbled right now.
I don't think we're stumbled. I think we're vulnerable right now.
In a public setting, which is not normal for us.
Right. But let's bring it back full circle, because here's the deal. Today, we are different than we were even 6 months ago or a year ago. And here's my take on why. And you've alluded to it a few times throughout this particular episode, which is we have literally given everything to God.
Yeah.
Every aspect of it. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's our kids, our marriage, our finances, our business, our future. Everything is given to God with full and unabashful trust.
Yeah. So, and I know I've probably said this before in one of the couple podcasts that we've done. We haven't done a ton, but I do feel as though I probably have said this. And if I did, great. If not, I met a wonderful, wonderful woman who told me one time, and I'm just going to fast track this conversation, but you are making a mistake if you are not putting ministry in your work. And I really, once I started applying that, I was happier. I really was happier. Do you have those positions where you're put in where it's like, okay, I have to take a deep breath because what I just did for that person and they just acted like that, or they just did that to me is, okay, whatever. Again, give it to God. That's growth for myself. It's a test for myself. I need to continue to do what's right. I need to continue to minister. I need to continue to think and pray about what is best for them, not just the organization. Of course, the organization matters. Your business matters. Your home, all of those things matter, but the individual matters too, and each person is different. And I think that once you start really focusing on that, we've had several people say that, not just one. We were happier. Our business did get a little bit more joyful because we live in a very hectic environment. Everything is very fast paced and deliverable at a certain time. If you don't meet deadlines, blah, blah, blah. The Hell's Kitchen is not made for no good reason. It really gets a little testy. And I think that made it a little bit more joyful. Uh-huh. And saying, if this works, great. If not, if they work here, great. If not,
yeah.
It's just okay. If I can do this, great. If not, that's okay too. And That's still where we're at today.
That's right. Because God will send us what we need and only what we need.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we have to be joyful in that fact. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that it continues to change me personally every single day as I live this walk.
Yeah.
It's not easy. I mean, I'm not so far in a place that I just, everything, I'm like, oh, give it to God. That's fine. Everything's mm-hmm. cool. Mm-hmm. It's tough. You have to truly remind yourself that, you know, you're okay. Everything's okay. And we're all going to be okay. And God's got us wrapped up in his arms. And there'll be more mistakes. There'll be more individuals that are going to be crushing. There's going to be more, you know, scenarios that are going to really be defeating. But we will get through them. And we'll get through them with God.
Yeah.
And we'll take the next chapter of this business in his hands.
Mm-hmm. Amen, brother.
And it'll be good.
Yeah. It's hard. And there's still things that have occurred or that I look back on and I'm still praying on. And I'm still dealing with. And that's just crazy to me that, again, this is business I'm talking about. That I'm still having to pray and, you know, it's like, hey, did it make me money? Did it not make me money? And some leaders today would say, well, then move the hell on. If it didn't make you money, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's just not that easy. Especially in certain lines of work where you create relationships long term. Not just with your employees, but your customers. So
yeah.
Then it gets even more emotional to that extent. Mm-hmm. And it's just not easy for everybody to just be so black and white.
It's not. But give yourself a little bit of peace. Give yourself a pass. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're struggling right now, if you're in that phase of the business where it's not just so much about the systems and the processes, it's a lot about the people. That's a good place to be in. You've made it through some of the other challenges that you face as a business owner. And this can be looked at as one of the more difficult times and one of the more stressful times. And by all regards, it is. But it's also a really beautiful time that's going to help you grow as a person. And if you allow it to, you know, really kind of structure who you become, you can do this in a very positive way. But I've also seen, and we've been on a path before too, where it's put us down in a negative path. So don't allow these internal struggles to the family dynamics and employee dynamics to rip you down and make you a bad person. Really focus on it being a learning, you know, situation to build you up and make you a better person for the rest of your life, and keeping God focused 100% within yourself and within those employees that you have.
Yeah, and I think too, prioritization and calendarizing and all of these new ways to, not new, but good ways, to say this is what I'm going to do today. No matter what comes at me, I'm going to continue on my course and I'm going to not get emotional and not allow from myself to react differently based on what my circumstances are. And I think when each day is different at our work environment, keeping yourself consistent is all you have control over. And that's really helpful in not having issues that last. Mm-hmm. I think if you leave it, you know, it's more of a, oh, this is just what God gave me today to deal with, and not allowing things to overtake your day or your week or be, oh, this is a week. No, that's something that happened, but it didn't overtake me. Yeah. And it's not going to. Because I'm walking strong. So.
Amen.
Yeah. So what I got from this podcast, and I wasn't expecting it to go that way, but started kind of black and white and growing, and now we're talking faith towards the end, which is kind of cool.
Well, amazing how that happens.
I know, right? It's kind of fun.
It is. It's great.
So.
All right, freaks. We're out of here. This is the Handmade Victory Podcast. I'm Rochelle.
I'm Brian.
We love you guys.
Peace out, homies.
Till next time. Later. Thank you so much for tuning into the Handmade Victory Podcast. If you like what you hear on the Handmade Victory Podcast, the mission is simple. Like, share, and subscribe. Tell your friends about it. Let them listen to the podcast and see what they think as well. Also, we love reviews. So go ahead and click that review button. Give us 5 stars. That's what we want, obviously. We also want your feedback. So feel free to send it to me, brian@handmadevictory.com. Maybe tell us a topic that you want to listen to or tell us some feedback regarding the podcast itself. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And as always, this is the Handmade Victory Podcast.